come to our last service in the year, and hopefully I will pick it up another time in the future. So I want to talk to us about faith for the future. Faith for the future. Obviously, I will not be able to finish all that I have prepared, but I'm going to share a few thoughts out of it just to encourage you to have faith for your future. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith, which implies there is a bad fight. You can fight a good fight of faith, or the good fight, because there's only really one fight, the faith fight. Everything we do in God's kingdom, in order to appropriate the kingdom on our behalf, is by faith. You cannot enjoy the things of God without faith, because Hebrews 11:6 tells us, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, whatever you desire in God's kingdom, and whatever you desire for your life and for your future concerning God's will, you have to exercise faith. And you have to do it the Bible way. So you have to fight a good fight. Say to your neighbor, fight the good fight of faith. And also, the faith fight, there is a purpose behind it. He says, lay hold on eternal life. You see, we are not walking by faith simply to enjoy this natural life. The things that we do, that there are eternal ramifications to it. The scripture says, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. In other words, the faith fight that you are fighting, you are investing in the age to come. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I wonder how you declare your faith before others. You see, one of the ways in which you fight the good fight of faith is by how you confess your faith before others, in what you say and also in what you do. Fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. So if we want to please God in the coming year, then we must make the coming year a year in which we are walking in faith. Faith is not a cliche. I tell you, faith will save your life. Faith will deliver you from the jaws of death. Faith will cause you to run and not be weary. Faith will cause you to be strong when you feel weak. Faith will cause you to overcome when you have all kinds of pressures against you. It's not a cliche. Faith is a matter of life and death. Hallelujah. So if you want to please God, then you must learn to walk by faith. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. One version says, we live by believing and not by seeing. We live by believing and not by seeing. In this journey that we are in this relationship that we are in with the Lord, it is by believing first, not by seeing, that you are able to enjoy what's yours. So, faith. What is faith? Let's do a bit kindergarten here. Faith is the ability to believe. Believing ability or believing capacity. And Bible faith simply is believing the word of God. Whether it's the written word or the spoken word, whether it's a word that's general for everyone, as is referred to as logos, or specific word in specific context referred to as rhema. Faith is believing the word of God. And we must have supreme confidence in the word of God if we want it to work on our behalf. So it's not just like some kind of theory. No, your confidence is so strong that, for instance, if you read in the Bible, you know, in the Bible says that, you know, the large fish swallowed Jonah. But if you read in the Bible, Jonah swallowed the large fish, you believe it because it's there. Are you still here? You see, that's how faith is. Faith believes the ridiculous as long as God said it. Yeah, that's how faith is. The key is whether God said it, whether it's there in the word. And that's why the wise stumble, the wise of this man, of this world, I beg your pardon, stumble at the things of the kingdom. He says the natural man does not comprehend or receive the things of the spirit because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them or discern them. He can't understand it. Can't appreciate the things of the spirit because it is a faith walk. Hallelujah. And you must have confidence in the word of God if you want God's word to work on your behalf. And one thing about God's word is this, it never changes. God's word does not change. So whether you decide to have confidence in it or not, it doesn't matter. But if you want it to work on your behalf, then you must learn to have confidence in the word of God. And God's desire regarding our future is to prosper us and not to harm us. The scripture that was read earlier by our young son, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, or to give you an expected end. God's desire concerning your future is to give you a future and a hope, to give you an expected end, to give you an end that is beneficial for you. The Amplified Version reads it like this. The classic Amplified Version reads it like this. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. To give you hope in your final outcome. So God's desire for your future is that you have hope in your final outcome. Oh, hallelujah. I don't care what you're going through right now. I don't care what you're facing right now. Your final outcome is good. It's not evil. I don't care what pressures you're going through right now. Your final outcome is good and not evil. Oh, hallelujah. I don't care what's been going on in the week or what's been happening. The thought towards you is to give you a future and a hope. If you agree, say amen. And so, we must have confidence in the word of God because God's word never changes. Whatever he desires for you, it remains the same. It does not change. Now, we may change and we may disqualify ourselves, but his word remains true. And that is the thing. And the reason why I'm teaching faith and I'm encouraging you in faith is so that your faith will not fail. You know, the enemy, when he tempts you, he's after your faith. The devil doesn't mind giving you the word if he can take your faith. Our Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Not that you will not go through the problem. No, you will go through it, but that your faith will not fail. Say to your neighbor, your faith will not fail. Say to your neighbor, your faith will not fail. The enemy wants your faith because he knows that is the currency of the kingdom. That's where the power lies. That's where the strength lies. That's what allows God access into our realm. That's what allows the Spirit of God to have freedom, faith in the Word of God. Hallelujah. God's Word never changes. Psalm 119 verse 160 says this: the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Or the essence of your words is truth. The very essence, New Living Translation, the very essence of your words is truth. God's word does not change. It remains the same. He says, all your just regulations will stand forever. God's word remains the same. In other words, the sum of his word is truth. So when God's word is evident, that is actually reality. What God is saying, that is the reality. That's what truth is. Truth is reality. Truth is the way things really are. That's what truth is. Truth is not subjective or relative. There is no such thing as my truth, you know, and your truth. You know, my truth is green, your truth is yellow, her truth is brown. No. Truth is truth. It's absolute. Hallelujah. God's word is truth. It is the reality that we are to embrace. Another scripture, he says this. 1 Peter 1, 24-25, emphasizing the point of God's word does not change. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower fades or falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. An unchanging word, an unfailing word. That's what was preached to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't change. It's powerful. To me, I think it's powerful. Circumstances may change. You may change. I may change. Those you trusted in may change. But God's word never changes. Because God does not change. In Malachi 3 verse 6, he says this: for I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Why does he not change? God does not change in this context because he remains faithful to the covenant he made with Israel. So once he has made covenant, once he has said, declared his word, he's not going to go back on it. That's why he says, I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Because Jacob had disqualified himself and they should have been destroyed. But because of the word that does not change, they couldn't be consumed. Oh, hallelujah. I believe in the word. Another scripture, he says, Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. What you see in the Gospels of Jesus is the same reality he wants to manifest through your life today. He does not change. Hallelujah. So when it comes to your future, when it comes to God's desire concerning your future, whatever he has decreed concerning your future does not change. It does not change. The gifts and the callings of God upon your life are irrevocable. It does not change. He doesn't change his mind. Once he gives you gifts, when he gives you a call, once there's a call upon your life, that call remains forever. Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. You may change, but God does not change. So, we're talking about faith for the future, our future. So, how do you allow your faith to work on your behalf for your future? How does faith express itself? Two ways, scripturally speaking, in our heart, in what we believe, and in our mouth, with what we say. 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith as the psalmist had, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. It's the same spirit of faith. Believe, speak. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. How we enter the kingdom, how we ensure that things of the kingdom belong to us. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. By believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Wow. That is what the scripture is saying, New Living Translation. By believing in your heart, you are saved. That's why it's so powerful. That's why a person can be a tyrant one day and then they hear the gospel, and their supernatural work of the Spirit takes place in their heart. They believe the message, and they are transformed. They believe in their heart, and they are saved. They have a surety of eternity, and they declare it and ensure it. They are made right with God when they believed in their heart, and they are saved when they confess. That's how faith works, by what we believe and what we say. Yes. So, first thing, when we're talking about future, we must believe what the Word of God says about us. This is, again, New Creation Realities 101. But I tell you, I pray that in this coming year, some of you will decide to study your rights as a believer, your authority as a believer, or you will study an aspect of the gifts of the Spirit, or you will study an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, a truth that you will be enamored with throughout the year that you want to see happen in your life. And you will be shocked by how powerful the Word of God can be in your life and how the Word can literally change you. Literally change you. The Word of God can change you. You know, you can have problems of lust and uncleanness and all of that. And as you study the love of God, those things just over time just drop off. Or as you study prayer, those things just drop off. Or as you study faith, those things just drop off. Or as you study the gifts, those things just drop off. Why? Because all of them come from the same throne. The same throne. And because they come from the same source, the same throne of God, as you study them, the life of it transforms you. I tell you, it's so powerful. So first, we must learn to believe right according to what God's Word says about us and about our future, what we believe. So this is very, very crucial that you don't have this mindset, well, everybody is loved by God. You know, so God says, I love you, child. And rather than say, oh, thanks, you say, well, it's nothing, no big deal, because everybody is loved. Okay, so if everybody has £1 million, does it make it not valuable? How many of you would all like £1 million for everybody? Or you want to be the only one who has £1 million? You know, some of us are like that. You know, if everybody had £1 billion, it would be an amazing world, right? But some of us, no, I want to be the only one who has the money, then the rest of it, because you're insecure. But actually, let me tell you something. You must learn to believe what God's Word says about you as a child of God, because they are the superior privileges of the kingdom of God. There are superior privileges of God's kingdom and superior pleasures in God's kingdom. Superior to anything this world has for us, I'm telling you. Most of us have never experienced joy unspeakable and full of glory. Never experienced it in our walk with God. I remember in the early stages of my faith, as I would experience a baptism of joy. And it was just so exuberant. I mean, I've had the experience in most of my journey. A baptism of joy is different from the fruit of joy. The superior pleasures of the kingdom of God are absolute peace that surpasses all understanding. There are superior pleasures in God's kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. But we must believe the word of God. Look at Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his word is perfect. His way is perfect. I beg your pardon. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. The word of the Lord is what? Is what? It's proven. Another scripture about the word. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of the Lord is proven. And it's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I pray that is how you live your life, by the word. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. This is how you ensure that God's word begins to affect your future. By believing that word. Not your opinions. Your opinions are limited to your life experiences. Trusting in your opinions and in yourselves is a dangerous path to self-conceit. So you must learn to trust God's word. One scripture says this: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Trust in God's word. Not your experiences, but in his word. So you must believe God's word. You must believe God's word. And then you must believe God's word about your future. So the things that God's word says about you and about the future. So for instance, let's say you're anxious about the future. And then you've just heard me quote Jeremiah 29:11, that his thoughts for you are peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope, to give you an expected end, to give you a favorable outcome. So that's what the word of God says about your future. But what you are feeling right now is something else. So what do? You start to declare. This is the next thing. You confess the word. So you start to declare what God's word says about your future. No, God's word says, I am to have an expected end. I have a future and a hope. That's what God's word says. So therefore, I refuse to yield to anxiety. I refuse to yield to anxiety because this is what God's word says. This is how you begin to allow the word to affect your future. And you must confess God's word. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So, Lord, your word is settled. So what your word says about me as new creation, you know, that there is no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. What your word says is my reality, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that every tongue that rises against me, I shall condemn, that this is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and that my righteousness is of you, and says the Lord. So therefore, no weapon, whether it's cancer, whether it's arthritis, whether it's poverty, whether it's affliction on my children, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It shall not prosper. They shall gather together, but not by me, says the Lord. All those that gather against you shall fall for your sake, says the Lord. Yeah. You have to know how to wield the word. Wield it. So confess the word. Confess the word, because words affect the outcomes of our lives. Observe the following scriptures I'm going to give you about words. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. What? This is New Testament, beloved. He who would love life. If you want to enjoy life, how many of you want to enjoy life? If you want to enjoy life and see good, how many of you want to see good in your life? Look at what he says. He didn't say invest in the stock market. He said refrain your tongue from evil. Watch the words you say. Make sure your words are not bad words. Some of us can swear. We can say vulgarity with impunity. We know all the swear words. We're not even talking about swear words. We're talking about negative words. We're not even talking profane. Of course, don't talk profane. Are you still here? We're talking words that are damaging. And you know the most damaging words are what we call inner vows. Things you say to yourself silently. I think I will die this time. You say to yourself, I'm not sure my children will make it. You say it. I don't think I can ever lose weight. Remember when I was fat? Do you remember that? Let me remind you. Around April, I declared, I'm going to check the tapes. I said, from today, you will see a change. You see, I'm not fat anymore. I can stand and publicly declare it. Yeah. It ain't no sickness. This is words and prayer. Yeah. Do you remember when I was fat? Blessed people, yeah. Don't say you're still fat, because I'm not. Do you remember that? Yeah. This was this year. Words, they are powerful. Say to your neighbor, I shall not die. I shall live and declare the works of God. Yeah. Your words are powerful. He says, stop speaking deceit. You know what deceit is? Things that are not true. Lies. And there are many things you say about yourself that are not true. I am ugly. Nobody's going to like me. Nobody's going to marry me. You know, once my friends all thought I would not be married when I was 50. They all thought they'll marry before me. If most of them are now pastors in our other churches. But if they'll be honest with you, they'll tell you, my sisters here, they had this secret thing. They believed I wasn't attractive enough for any woman. They believed it. They believed it. No. They believed it. They felt so sorry for me. I always used to dress all frumpy and all that. And then God told me I had to repent because I believed I was ugly. Can you imagine? I actually believed I was ugly. Imagine that. And when I acknowledged that sin and I said, I repent of this, something happened. I didn't have cosmetic surgery, but something happened. Yeah. Deceitful words are words that are not true. They harm you. They hurt you. And none of these beauties in the eye of the beholder business. I wanted to marry somebody who I would like. And they would like me. Every time they saw me, they thought I was handsome. And when I see them, I think they're beautiful. None of these beauties in the eye of the beholder business. So I said to God, you know exactly what I'm like. I'll fussy everything. So give me a wife. And I made it very clear to everybody that I was desperate. Yes. You see, some of you, when you want a miracle, you are all prim and proper and shy about it. That's not, no. Speak the truth. I said, I'm desperate for a wife. I was only 24, but I was desperate. I felt like I was 42. Yes. And then one day, a young lady approached me. They approached me, glory. I was too busy doing the work of God. They approached me and said, I think I like you. What do you say? I paraphrased. And I said, take your time. Yes, I did. This is too precious. We can't just give it cheap like that. Some of you, you give yourself too cheap. You have to be, you know. So they went, and then they came back second time, second hit. Right, I really believe we should be together. I said, no, my friend, look. No, take it easy. Take it easy. You see, because some of you, when you see me and my wife, you thought he must have really chased her down, wore her down. No, she wore me down. Glory. Yeah. She had to do it three times wonder. Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody needs to hear this testimony. I'm telling you. Look, don't speak bad things over your life anymore. Don't call yourself ugly. Don't call yourself stupid. Don't call yourself these things that are terrible. No, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it doesn't mean scary and horrible. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are special and unique. You're God's child. You're a son of God. The things of the kingdom belong to you. You will judge angels one day. That's what the word of God says. We will judge angels one day. Yeah, that's the superior privileges of the kingdom of God that belong to us. Don't allow your life to be defined by a need. Some of us have certain needs, and we allow those needs to bombard us. I'm not having a child. I'm not getting married. No. There are things, your need, they are nothing compared to who you are and what you're supposed to do with your life. I'm telling you, your future is tremendous. Your future is tremendous. And your future is in God and His Word. It's not in your ability. It's not in your know-how. It's not in your planning, your strategy. No, it's in the Word of God. And your ability and your decision to believe what God says and to speak what God says about you. Let me show you some more things about words. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like piercings of a sword, but the tongue or the words of the wise promotes health. The words of the wise promote health. In other words, the words of the wise bring healing. Your words can bring healing to your life, to your family, to your children. As a father, sometimes my children, you know, they're amazing children, but sometimes they can get upset with me and get really angry and all of that, and they're fed up with me. But I know that my words, I have so much power by my words. And no matter how angry my children are with me, all I have to do is just use my words. And I can just draw them from whatever pit that the enemy will want them to. Because I know I have authority by my words. Your words can bring healing. Your words can bring healing. First and foremost, to yourself. And also to those around you. Look at another scripture. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Another scripture. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue or perverse words falls into evil. I'll give you another one. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Guard your mouth. Say to your neighbor, guard your mouth. Guard your tongue. And now, you don't have to go there. And you keep your soul, your life from trouble. Listen, your problems and your challenges are not because of the economy, the government, somebody else. It's between your mouth, your words. Watch your words. Therefore, you must allow your words to line up with God's word if you wish to have his outcomes for your life. Jeremiah 1:12, he says this, I am watching over my word to perform. In fact, the Amplified Version says this, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am actively. He asked Jeremiah in the previous verse, what do you see? And he says, I see an almond tree, blossoming almond tree. And he says, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. Actively watching over my word. So when you are speaking God's word over your life, you know what is happening? He is, are you watching me or watching them? Honestly, just going to sit down. I'm watching you. So when you are speaking God's word over your life, he is actively listening to what you are saying and ensuring that those words that are his words are being manifested in your life. Say, I will speak the word of God. In James chapter 3, verse 6 says this, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. In other words, New International Version says this, the tongue sets the whole course of one's life on fire. It sets the whole course. In other words, if hell controls your tongue, then your life, the direction of your life, comes under the judgment of hell. And if heaven controls your tongue, then the direction of your life comes under the blessing and influence of heaven. So what should our response be for our future? Number one, we make a decision that our future is governed by the word of God. Our future is governed by the word of God. So that's why sometimes it's good to just study simple truths. You know, as a child of God growing up, I would study love as a subject. I'd study it. And I'd read. I used to read. First epistle of John is one of my favorite epistles. I'd read it because it's a love epistle. And it's one of the most provocative and challenging discipleship epistles or portions of scripture. And I'd read it and read it and read it and study it. So I'm saying to you, allow yourself to be influenced by some basic truths in God's word. Things that interest you, study it. You're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creation. The old is gone. All has become new. All has become new. All has become new. I said, all has become new. Don't allow the old man to determine who you are now. The old man, that old nature, that's not the real you. The real you is the new man in Christ. And you are not allowing that new man to come alive, because every time you yield to your flesh, you think that your flesh is you. Your flesh is not you. Are you listening to me? As for the flesh, look, the flesh always will appeal to the baser nature. My friend, no matter how spiritual you are, all you need is to decide to be carnal and you will like the flesh. So get over it that you struggle with your flesh. It's normal. You have not resisted to the shedding of blood, struggling against sin. That's what the scripture says. So get over it. But having said that, you must understand you're a new creation. So understand the rights and the privileges that you have that belongs to you as a child of God. These are the promises that enable you to receive what God wants you to have and to achieve all that God has for you. That's why you need to know the scriptures. Second thing, because of time. In fact, no, whilst I stay on this point, before I go on to the second thing. So your future must be governed by the word of God. And another way you allow your future to be governed by the word of God is by understanding God, sorry, is by identifying the burden of the Holy Spirit on your life. In other words, all of us, at certain phases, the Spirit of God will want us to do certain things. So learn to identify those things. Learn to discern that in this season of my life, I'm supposed to study discipleship, or I'm supposed to be reaching out, or I'm supposed to be helping this, or I'm supposed to be doing this. Identify that burden and give yourself to it for a period of time. Give yourself to that burden. Give yourself to it. Another thing is this. As you make a decision concerning your future, is that you have to recognize that there are certain tasks that God would want you to do. And sometimes, after a while, you're not supposed to do anymore. You've missed the time. So learn to let go of things. You know, learn to let go. Some things, you know, you need to let go of. You need to sometimes recognize, you know what, this thing is not going to happen anymore. And let's move on. The other thing I want to say about how you take a hold of the future is this. Speak into your future what you see in God's word about yourself. Speak into your future. A lot of what I do today is because of what I spoke when I was a young 20-something year old. My little sister will tell you, I used to tell her about my church before I was ever a pastor. Apparently, as a nine-year-old, I used to tell my grandmother I'd be a preacher one day. Let me tell you, speak into your future what you see. Now, don't make up stories. You know, sometimes people, you know, I'm going to be an astronaut. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not even that way. But what you see, there are things you see about yourself that may appear fantastic now, but it's in the future. Speak into it. And allow the Holy Spirit to show you aspects concerning your future. In John chapter 16, verse 13, he says this. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. New Living Translation. He will tell you about the future. He will tell you about, listen, let me show you something. Last year, I planned concerning this year. And, you know, the leaders will tell you there's a calendar and all of that stuff. But as I began to pray into it, I felt, no, from September, cancel all these events. Cancel them. Do you remember that? Cancel them. Now, I didn't know why. I could see in the spirit, I'm not supposed to do these things. And I could also see I'm not going to be traveling for a while. So I was thinking, hey, what's happening here? So I could see. Now, I didn't know why, but I could see. As I waited on him, I could see. So I canceled things. I said, cancel it. We're not doing this thing anymore. We're not doing it anymore. We're not doing this anymore. The rest is history. He will show you things to come so that you are forewarned and forearmed. He will show you the future if you let him. I said your future is bright. Like they said, your future is orange. Your future is bright. Yeah. Don't listen to the enemy. Last but not least, prioritize first the kingdom of God and his righteousness regarding your future if you want to exercise faith for the future. Prioritize first the kingdom of God and his righteousness concerning your future. In other words, you make decisions that have to do with God's will for your life. God's will for my life. That's what the kingdom of God is the rule of God. His righteousness is what he approves of. We'll be talking a lot more about the kingdom in the coming months because that's how we're emphasizing in the in next year. And focus on building your faith in that area of burden that God has laid on your heart. Build your faith in that area. Study that area. Study the Word of God. And give yourself, your energy to those things. Some of us, we give a lot of time to things which are nice, but they are not our number one priority. They're good things. Some of you, I see, like in, as I look in my spirit, there are some of you that have healing ministries, very powerful healing ministries, prophetic ministries, very powerful prophetic ministry, service ministries, businesses, financial opportunities that God is wanting to bring. And those of you online as well, that's part of this family. Tremendous things, but you are focusing in the wrong area. You're focusing in the wrong area. Some of you, God is laying on your heart about wealth on the internet, but you are focusing on something else. Some of you, God is laying certain burdens, certain type of ministry thing that he wants you to do that will mean effort and risk, but you want a comfortable context. No, the kingdom of God is you identify the will of God and what he wants of you, and you give yourself to it. Hallelujah. So as I want to bring this to a conclusion, just say this to you. Exercise faith for your future. Let God's word influence your future. Your future is bright. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Amen. Let us stand. We're going to pray. I want Aisha, Angela, and Martin to come to the front. We're going to pray over you. And I feel in my spirit that we are to minister to some of you prophetically and just bless you, just bless you. So these are the ones I feel in my spirit. They are our senior ministers. Martin is one of our